On this Sunday, the 32nd Sunday of Ordinary Time, we are quickly approaching the end of the church year. I think we have this Sunday, next Sunday, and Christ the King the following week. And so Father Chaz and I, in the next 3 weeks of homilies, are going to be doing, I don't know, kind of like a homily series light. A homily series on the offices of Jesus and how we participate in those ministries. Jesus, who is priest, prophet, and king. So today's homily is about Jesus the priest and about the way in which you and I, as sons and daughters of God, participate in the priesthood of Jesus and what that exactly means as Christians. If you and I have been baptized, we have been baptized into Jesus, which means that we become a partaker in all the things that Jesus was in himself. And the titles, these are like the three great titles, the three great offices, the three great responsibilities that Jesus took on when he came to us: priest, prophet, and king. These are the things that identified him specifically as the Messiah that came. If you and I want to know what it means for us to participate in the priesthood of Jesus, we have to know what it meant in his life. And we can know what it meant in his life when we understand that priesthood of Jesus as God revealed it in the Old Testament. So we have to go to the Old Testament for just a minute to get our bearings. God gave the office of priesthood to his holy people, and he gave that office to specific members of the Israelite community as a way to show what God planned to do in the fullness of time. I mean, notice, again, in salvation history, why does salvation history happen as it does? Because of the way that the story starts. The way that the story starts in salvation history is that God and man are together, right? Adam and Eve, enjoying the garden, in total communion with God, and something really horrible goes wrong. And what is divine and what is human, that we're created to be united, we're separated. So in salvation history, God's figuring out, what am I going to do about that? How do I resolve that issue? And so he begins in his people Israel to reunite humanity with divinity. And in his providence, he gives a special office in order to begin to show that, in order to begin to bring that about. That was his holy priesthood. Moses, one of the greatest, perhaps the greatest figure in the Old Testament of the priesthood, because the priest was the one who is specifically meant to unite the human with the divine. This is the office of the priest, to bring together humanity and divinity. And the way that that looks, what that looks like in a world gone wrong, is through the blood of a sacrifice. A sacrifice is what unites humanity and divinity in a world torn by division, in a world torn by brokenness and sin. So what does that mean? It means that principally to be a priest is to be the one who offers sacrifice. Because to offer sacrifice is what unites humanity to divinity. This was the great model that began in the servant Moses and then continued through his servant Aaron. Aaron became the first priest that was anointed by God through Moses, and then that line of priesthood through Aaron and eventually through the whole tribe of Levi, the Levitical priesthood that continued through the Old Testament to Jesus. So what it meant to be a priest was very well established by the time that Jesus came around. That in order for us to get back to God, something has to be offered. Jesus comes onto the scene as priest of all priests. And what's super interesting is that this is, through the words of John the Baptist, the very first title that is used to describe Jesus as Messiah. So, as Messiah, John the Baptist comes on and says, I'm come to announce the one. I'm not he, but the Messiah is coming. And when John the Baptist sees Jesus, the Messiah, what's the first thing he says about Jesus? Behold, the Lamb of God. Behold, the Lamb of God. That's very specific language in the people of Israel. Because to be a lamb was to be the thing that was sacrificed at the temple. When John the Baptist looks at Jesus and John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb of God," John the Baptist is saying, "Behold the sacrifice of God." God's sacrifice. Man takes these lambs and man sacrifices these lambs to God at the temple. Here comes Jesus. Here comes God offering his lamb, God offering his sacrifice for man. So Jesus, who comes to unite humanity with divinity, which we know he does in his very person, fully God and fully man, teaches us what that means by sacrifice, by becoming the offering, right? This is what we heard in the second reading, the letter to the Hebrews, that when Jesus entered the sanctuary, that everything that he's doing in his earthly life is like, it's like an image of what's going on invisibly in heaven. You know, this whole image of the temple, these visible realities that, as the author to the Hebrews says, when Jesus is doing all these things, he's not actually offering himself in a sanctuary made by hands. He's actually going into heaven itself to offer himself as sacrifice in order to unite us with God again, so that salvation can be given to those who eagerly await him. You are all priests. You're all priests, all of you. If you've been baptized, that's what you are. That's one of the great powers that you receive, one of the great offices that you receive by your baptism, because you're taken up into the very thing that Jesus does. So to be a priest in your life, for me to be a priest in my life, as Christians, means that we offer sacrifice. That's one of the ways that we live out our Christianity, to offer sacrifice so that what is divine can continue to come in and unite itself to what is human. And don't we all know that that's needed in the world today? We're called to be a part of that because humanity and divinity are still divided in so many areas of the world. To offer sacrifice, to participate in the priesthood of Jesus. How do we do that? What does that mean? Okay, so what? Like, I get it. Theology, fine. Yeah. But what does that mean for me? What does it mean for me to offer sacrifice? The New Testament gives me, three primary ways that we know of, we've heard of these, that you and I offer sacrifice as priests to God. Three of those ways are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, ways in which we apply ourselves in a sacrificial way to unite ourselves to God. And if you were paying attention to the first reading, and if you were paying attention to the gospel, the way of almsgiving is one of the priestly actions that we heard about. This is a huge way in which we offer ourselves to God, almsgiving. What happened to the prophet Elijah? What did he ask? What did God ask through Elijah of the widow of Zarephath who had nothing left? She had a little bit of flour, she had a little bit of oil, then she was going to die. She had nothing. And God said through Elijah, offer that, give that to God, and God will provide. And as the story is told, he did provide. And it's like the story was repeated, right, in the person of Jesus in today's Gospel of Mark, that Jesus comes to the crowds and he's teaching them about true almsgiving. It says all over the place in the Gospels that the scribes, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they were lovers of money. And Jesus says they're going to receive a really severe condemnation because it's like an oxymoron. They were the priests. They were the ones meant to offer sacrifice, including almsgiving. But they're doing the very opposite thing. They're hoarding money. It makes zero sense. It'd be like me becoming a priest and then gallivanting off to go try and be a millionaire. Like, what's that about? No, Father's not here on Sunday. He's down trying out for America's Got Talent. he's going to try and sign a record label. He's playing the lottery. He's gambling. I don't know. He's going to try and find a really good job as a CEO somewhere so he can make his millions. It's incongruent. It makes no sense. Jesus comes to teach his apostles about what offering means, what almsgiving means in today's gospel, right? One of the acts, one of the actions of priesthood. The sacrifice of two small, we'll say pennies, just a few cents. And Jesus really reveals how the intention of the gift, the mode of the gift, is what makes the gift worthy, not the size of it. To give alms is one way that we offer ourselves as priests, as New Testament priests in the baptism that we share. Giving money away. I gave a lot of money away this week. I gave a lot of money away this week to the car company, my car loan. I paid it off. Feels really good. It was a big chunk of money. I just got tired of paying the loan. You know, every month it comes out of your bank account, and you're like, oh, I'm really debt averse. I just hate it. And so I was paying it off each month, and at the same time saving money, and I kind of got to this tipping point, and I was like, you know what? I can't stand it anymore. I'm done. I'm just going to pay the whole thing off. I'm going to be poor for a little bit, but it will be finished. And so it is, officially as of yesterday. I'm officially debt-free. I own my car. Yes! Awesome. Not feeling very rich right now. Just gave away a lot of money. But as a priest, that changes my relationship to God now. My financial position changes. Because I actually am going to be saving more. I'm not going to be giving that away anymore to the car loan company. So what do you think God's going to ask me? Brian, what are you doing about your new money situation? My capacity to give alms is actually going to increase. And so the question for me, very concretely, is, am I going to choose that? I'm going to try to move forward my Witness to Hope pledges and see if I can pay those pledges off sooner than I was so that I can do it in less than 5 years. So that's one thing that I'm considering. But it's a very real question that touches you and that it touches me by virtue of the fact that we are incorporated into the divinity of God, right? Into the mission of Jesus. Jesus who came not to simply offer kinds of sacrifices or different sacrifices, but to offer his very life. And ain't that also concrete in our world? I mean, it is kind of fitting in that sense that today's Veterans Day, the offering of one's whole life, or the readiness to offer one's whole life in service of someone else. I give my life not for me, I give my life for the ones that I love. We all have people in our lives who either gave themselves up serving or who served and proclaimed and showed in a concrete way that willingness, that readiness to give of themselves. Attached to God, you know, given over to the Lord, that becomes a priestly action, military service. It can be. If in the same way that the widow gave her 2 cents, that someone gives their life in that way. I mean, we can try and we can give our lives right for things that don't serve us, like I'm going to do this so that I can have lots of honor. I'm going to do this so that I can have lots of fame or lots of money or lots of recognition. Or I can do this because I believe in something, because I want to protect someone. You know, the intention of the heart makes all the difference. I'm glad as a chaplain that one of the first things I get to do every day with our students is pray with them. I get to get on the PA system. I get to be on the speakers. Like at 7:55 when school starts, I get to welcome everyone in for the morning announcements. It's one of my favorite parts of that job. I love it. It's like holding a little microphone of power. You know, like, you have to listen to everything I'm about to say to you. So one of the first things we do every morning is we pray. And we pray the morning offering. We actually do a priestly thing, right? Prayer, almsgiving, fasting, prayer, one of the ways in which we are priests. And we make our morning offering, and if I can remember it correctly on the spot, oh gosh, okay, what do we say? My God, I give to you this day. I offer to you now all the good that I shall do, and I promise to accept for love of you all the difficulty that I shall meet, help me to offer myself in a way pleasing to you. Amen. Every day, all of our high school students make that morning offering, the offering of themselves, the offering of their goods, the offering of their difficulties, because they're Christians. Because that's one of the ways, in a daily, ordinary way, that the divinity is united to our humanity. It's beautiful. To be a priest is not, we'll say, not difficult. It can be done, and it can be done in ordinary ways. And it can be done most supremely by the intentions of our hearts, right? That great lesson that the widow of the treasury of Jerusalem teaches us. Jesus says she gave it all. All the little things that she had, no matter what it was. And in this case, it was her 2 cents. It was her almsgiving. But that became really pleasing to God, and it united her to himself, which is what he wants with every single one of us. So let's thank God for that gift. Let's thank God for the ability to participate with him in that way, to be priests, right, by virtue of our baptism, to be able to make an acceptable offering, no matter if it's 2 cents, no matter if it's a car loan, no matter if it's our charitable giving, no matter if it's the service that we offer to our country. On World Marriage Day, the service that we offer to our spouse, all of those sacrifices worthy of Jesus, helping us to live out our vocation to bring God and to unite God to ourselves and to the whole world.